And the Truckers Hotline is 818-817-0021. Don't forget Coast to Coast AM this weekend. Ian Punnett on Saturday. Art Bell returns on Sunday for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Monday night, we'll have the Skeptic's Cage. Michael Shermer will be back, the Skeptic, with three guests who all ranked very high on your fast blast and email polls to me on who you would want to battle it out with him. So we are going to do that, keep you in suspense for a bit, but that'll be on Monday. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Matt.
Hi, Matt.
From South Carolina. First of all, I want to give a shout out to your screen call, your call screener, the hardest working guy on radio.
You may be the only guy who's ever complimented Tommy, and I'm sure he'll relish it. He'll take a copy of this tape and he'll put it on a loop and listen to it every day.
I've called several times. I can always tell he's busier than anything else, but he's always been polite, and I appreciate
it. Yeah, he's a good guy. You're right.
But I'm calling about the other day when you had the guy who used to be a rock and roller talking. I feel like Rome is burning, and I'm hoping to God that we're able to put out the fire before we lose everything. I see more than just Iran involved in this. I think if we take on Iran, North Korea is going to make its move.
Well, here are the possibilities with this, and you're not too far off. You've got Syria. You've got Iran involved. You've got North Korea involved. Then you've got Russia and China over there. And you just don't know who's going to make moves where. You know, China would love to take over Taiwan. The best time to do it is when there's weakness or we're occupied someplace else. North Korea, you know, the Kim Jong-un, he's nuts, that guy.
Yeah.
Who knows what he'll do? I mean, so the whole picture is very, very peculiar. You've got France talking now. For the first time that I can remember, and this is France, the country that doesn't get involved in anything, talking
it's about time to get off their duff.
Yeah, talking about the possibility that they will nuke anybody who attacks them. I mean, there's just weird pictures out there. You're very perceptive. You're seeing something that I think is out there.
Well, I drive my wife absolutely nuts. I'm a history buff. I watch the History Channel all the time, and I always believe that what I can't remember what president. Those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. And I see us actually going back to the Roman times where everything's on fire and you're hoping to God that Rome, in this case Washington and the Pentagon, have their hands on things and able to control things.
Yeah, no, good point. Thanks for the observation.
But I just, you know, I think in the next couple of weeks, within the next 2 months, I think it's going to come to a big head. And I don't see China or Russia making a move. I think they're going to be around for the spoils.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be thin pickings for them, and that's what they want. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's Skeeter in San Antonio.
Skeeter, how are you?
Just fine. Last night you had a caller on, I believe he was military, he was talking about silent helicopters.
Yes.
Yeah, I had an experience one time. Me and my girlfriend were parking outside of San Antonio about 20 miles when he's sitting up on his hill. And I jumped up. We was kind of cold. We had the windows part way down and the engine shut off. And first thing I did was hit the brakes. Well, there in my rearview mirror is these two guys sitting in a helicopter right off my tailgate. And they were so close I could see the expressions on their face that and their whole thing lit up with them red lights when it hit that thing. And it's just scared the heck out of me how that thing got right there like that without making a sound.
Well, they've got the ability to do that, and I think they've had that ability for a number of years now.
My uncle's in the service, and I asked him something about it, and he says, well, you should be able to hear the turbine or something. And I said, no, we didn't hear a thing, and it was just like maybe 6-8 feet off the back of the truck.
You know, and there is a way of directing sound towards sound that eliminates it, and they figured it out.
I guess so, because that was pretty amazing. That they could sneak up on us like that and be that close.
If they're sneaking up on you, Skeeter, what else are they doing?
I think I scared them about as much as they scared me, though, when them lights came on.
That's possible. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to next, our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. You're up. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Brian from Athens, New York.
Hi, Brian.
And I had a vision a long, long time ago when I was about 7 years old. And in that vision, I was shown a lot of different earthquakes. And unfortunately, one of the ones I was shown was the big one in Los Angeles. And it unfortunately is this year on June 9th. And the specific aspect about this earthquake is that I was shown an aerial view of it, and there's a tidal wave associated with it that comes about halfway across the basin there.
Like a tsunami?
Yes.
Now, how come you're so specific on that day, June 9th? How did you see that?
That's the date I was given in the vision.
All right.
This is a vision from God, I believe, because I had screens going off all around me of all kinds of events in the future. And one of the other things I'd like to say while I've got you online is that I was also shown the big one in San Francisco, which I believe is August of 2008. And that one was preceded by a big one in the Baja just a few minutes before that.
Okay, so you're making some heavy earthquake predictions. Have you made some that have already happened, that have come true?
Well, I knew when we had the Los Angeles earthquake back in 93.
Yeah.
I knew that that was coming up that week.
Did you tell?
I didn't know this specific day.
All right.
But I knew it was coming up that week.
Did you document it so people can say, hey, this
no,
guy.
No, unfortunately,
all right.
I didn't.
Well, you have this time.
Yes. What I'd like to do is, I am right about this, and one other thing, it's just about 11:32 in the morning.
That's when it's going to happen.
Right, in Los Angeles.
All right, June 9th.
Yes, and the San Francisco earthquake is about an 11.
All right, so it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, well, the San Francisco earthquake is 2008, and that's in about 11. So is the one in the Baja that precedes that.
Okay, well, we've got you. We've got the show, and we're going to monitor it. And if you're close... Look, if you're right within months, I think that's an accurate prediction, to tell you the truth. Wild card line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Well, good to talk with you. Speak up just a little bit.
Okay, I have to fix my headset.
You have headsets, huh?
Yeah, I have a headset.
There you go. Well, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to call a couple times and mention this. I hope people don't think I'm off the wall, because I'm not. I know I'm not.
Well, we'll see what you say first.
I have invisible beings that come into my home. Now, when they come, I feel a force. They actually bump into me, and I know they're here.
Do they jostle you? I mean, can you feel this push?
I can feel this force, and I communicate with them, and I ask them. I said, are you a human? They said no. Now pull me one way, you know, forward for yes and sideways for no. So they do. They told me, now this is what I got out of them, that they are from the constellation, the Pleiades, the seven sisters. That's what that star constellation is called. And they are from a star. They're invisible. Their atmosphere, I asked them what their atmosphere is like. They said it's misty and watery. I said, do you have other forms of life on your star? They said yes. But they said it's in the water.
So this shape that they're in that on their own system, same way?
Well, I asked them how they get here, and they said they come through a wormhole. They don't use a ship.
Well, I can
believe
that.
They just fly in the air.
Now, when you say they're, you mean the planet they're on. You don't mean their star.
Yeah, the planet they're on is a star, not a planet. Mm-hmm. They called it a star.
How could they be on a star? They burn up.
Well, that's what I asked them. They said, no, the star, it shines. Well, you figure the planet Venus does shine.
Well, it reflects.
It reflects, yeah. So maybe one of those stars. Now, I do have a telescope, and I've been observing the constellation Pleiades.
Have you seen it? Are you looking for a sign or what?
Well, I'm trying to get out of them what star in the constellation they're actually.
What are they doing here?
They told me they were here to guide me and help me.
What do you mean, help you?
Well, so far they haven't harmed me.
Well, I know, but how have they helped you?
Well,
have they given you any special gifts of knowledge or anything like that?
Well, they sort of give me energy to help me. They do things with me.
Like what?
Well, when I go shopping, it's like they're there. They give me a boost. They give me energy. And when they're here, I know they're here.
Do they like shopping?
Well, I don't know, but they give me energy, and they help me.
They came just for you?
No. I asked, I said, do you have more beings here? I call them a being. I don't call them, you know. And they said, yes.
They would come here millions of miles to help you go shopping?
No, not just shopping.
What
else? Help me move. If I don't feel good, they give me energy. They help me move. And they come. There's one that comes to help my husband and one that comes to help my son.
Well,
I asked them,
they
I
like
said,
the family, I guess.
Well, I asked them, I said, are you the only one in my house? And they said no. It said no.
So they're going to just keep showing up to help you?
Well, I don't know. They just, they don't do me any harm.
Well, that's a good thing. You have any pets? They help them?
Well, I have a dog. I have a French poodle, a little mini toy poodle.
Are they all happy?
And they're not afraid of him, but they're not afraid of him. But it seems like my dog knows that when this being is here.
Oh, yeah, they're always pretty aware. Well, I'm glad they're helping you. And, you know, just don't go shopping with them the day after Thanksgiving, because then they'll never come back. Trust me on that one. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to tell you a story that happened back in 1958. Remember the old Hudson Hornet?
Yes, the car, of course.
Yeah, well, behind the back seat, up along where the back window went down, there's about a 2 feet area. And driving from Los Angeles to Vegas, that's where I used to sleep. And one night we're going to Vegas, and I told my mom, I go, Mom, there's two moons out in the back here. And she says, oh, go to sleep before I box your ears and stuff. And I just dropped it. The next day, we're in Vegas, and my dad reads the newspaper, and he says, well, I'll be damned. They're going to be setting off an atomic bomb today. And sure enough, about 5 o'clock that afternoon, they set off an atomic bomb, and you know, things jiggled around and stuff like that. And there was also an article on the same page of sightings of UFOs in the area on that day.
You might have been seeing one while you were in the back seat there.
Yeah, well, I used to look out the back window and look at the trucks go by, and sure enough, there was two moons up there. And I tried to get my parents' attention, and they just didn't want to hear from me about that.
How close were you to this atomic explosion?
Well, from Vegas, I don't know where in the heck they set it off. I was only like 7 years old at the time. And that got me so interested that when I was 10, I looked in the library and I got a book. Have you ever heard of George Zimnitsky?
Yes.
Yes, well, he wrote a couple of books, and if I remember correctly, he diagrammed and told how the power, how the spaceships from wherever they came from, that they use the magnetic field that's out in the universe, and they use that to pull themselves in one direction and push themselves in another direction. Yep. To go to wherever they were going.
Old George claims they used to come and pick him up and take him out of the solar system and he, on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, and here I was 10 years old reading this stuff, you know, and I got some strange looks from my friends. You know, they're all reading comic books.
Yeah, but you were the better for it, weren't you?
Well, I'm a little bit wiser and definitely wiser for listening to you.
Well, thank you and appreciate you being part of the program.
Hey, thanks, Tommy, for all of his patience with me.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Tommy's getting some kudos today. Let's go to our next caller, Trucker Hotline. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning. This is Jack from Tennessee.
Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, I want to tell you about an out-of-body experience I had while driving about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I had sent you an email, and I'm sure I was so just, you know, beside myself with it happening that I might have messed up sending it. But anyway, about 3.5 years ago, I was driving, and all of a sudden I started feeling strange. My body got tingling, and I take blood pressure medicine, and my first thought was I forgot to take my medicine.
Right.
Well, anyhow, I go along, and all of a sudden these forms started coming around me. And I'm driving up around Knoxville, Tennessee, and they were very, they just weren't clear or sharp images. And as I drove some more, they started to get sharper, and it was men and women, and they just had me surrounding in the seat as I'm going down the road. Well, it ended up where all of a sudden, I don't know if you know the truck, but from the top of your head to the headliner is about a foot. I was up there looking down, and these images got just crystal clear and sharp. All of the women had on, like, denim, blue or gray dresses like in the old days, and all of the men had on black and white shirts. And, George, at that moment, I knew I was either fixing to have a heart attack or die. And from listening to your show and other things, I just said out loud, but I'm not ready to go. And, you know, they started to dim. The images started to dim. And I said, I'll be ready when I dance at my granddaughter's wedding when she's 25. And all of a sudden, they just disappeared. And you know, I was back to normal. And, I mean, I was driving. The only person I think has ever believed me with this story has been my wife. And,
I was going to ask you if you thought you were in the process of having some kind of heart attack or some kind of an attack. And it sounds like you were able to get out of this thing before it happened.
To this day, and for some reason, I felt like these figures that were around me, I mean, they were 30 or 40, and we're talking about, the confines of a truck, and they were just, I knew they were family from somewhere. I mean, I didn't feel threatened by them. It was just the most weirdest experience. And one other thing real quick, I sent a picture one time. This is my two weird things in life. About 4 years ago, I got a picture from my aunt. My dad passed away in 1957. And my aunt had a picture she's had all these years, and she wanted me to see it, and it was at the cemetery. And I don't know if you remember the picture coming across. I also emailed that to you. But there's a great big white heart of floral arrangement, and directly behind it, there is a shadow. And for people who do or do not believe, the image of this shadow is what you would, when you see it, you'd say it's Jesus Christ. And my aunt, I showed it to her, and she said, you know, I've never noticed that.
So yeah, I remember that. I sent that up to Lex, too. And
okay,
he may have put that on the site.
Oh, I look about every week, and I've never seen it. But I
saw one close to that.
Okay. Like I say, it's just the two weird things that happened to me, but the one of where, you know, without listening to your show or back when Art Bell had it, you know, about out of body, I would have never, you know, just, it would have never clicked, but it was just so strange. And I appreciate your show. And keep up the
good work. And drive carefully, and I'm glad you came back. And we'll be back. In a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're on the last lap home. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Kevin from California. Good morning.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to relay some stuff to you that I've never told anybody, so I'm a little bit nervous about doing it. So if I sound a little shaky, it's for that reason.
Okay.
When I was 5... I had an experience. It was around about 4, 5, or 6. I had an experience where I was actually taken somewhere. And, of course, you know, it's very difficult to relate to yourself at that age. I mean, I just sort of absorbed it and kind of moved on with my kid stuff, you know.
Sure.
But it was, and I'm trying to remove all assumptions as to where it was and what it was, but it was, if the sky was very dark, and I was kind of flying, like you would do in a dream almost, but this certainly wasn't a dream. And it was very dark, but there seemed to be very good ambient light. And I crest over a ridge, and there before me is this huge structures. And from the very earliest age I've ever can recall, I've always had a fascination when I doodle. If you think of a square and all corners joining in the middle, I've always had a fascination with all points kind of being joined to each other, and more importantly, the intersection in the middle. And here I was facing these what looked like huge cooling towers on each corner of this square, but the size was probably relative to, say, the length of a football field.
Okay.
And I was floating around, checking everything out, and there was conduits running from each of the cooling towers as per, this doodle I've always done. So, I'm floating around. There's actually creatures on top or beings on top of these cooling towers controlling something that's going on. And
almost like a power station or something.
Huh? Yeah. And the interesting thing is that take about 20 years forward in time, in the year, I think it was 83, I found myself working at a nuclear power laboratory in Oxford in England, which was Joint European Torus. I'm not familiar with fusion rather than fission. They used a tokamak reactor, which is like a donut. And the sister laboratory to where I worked is actually the CERN one in Switzerland and France, which is a huge particle accelerator.
Absolutely. And they're going to really push that the next year or two.
It's about a mile across and 4 miles wide. So anyway, I became very familiar, although I'm certainly no rocket scientist, but became very familiar with the principle. So I cast myself back to that experience. I go, you know what? That's as near as damn as I can figure out was some kind of accelerator. And, I could actually see something going around from these towers, the base of these towers, and then all of a sudden it all shot into the middle, like I say, where all the points intersected.
Where did they take you?
I don't know. I have no clue. And at that point, it was over. So now I move on. And it was many, many, many years later. And actually, I traveled to the Middle East, and I always have a fascination with UFOs. And I've always kind of had it in my mind that if ever I was confronted with a UFO, I wouldn't, throw a rock at it and run the other way. I'd actually say, hey,
take me.
let's chat, So when I was going to the Middle East as a young guy, I always thought, well, this is the place I'm going to, it's going to happen. It's just one of those kind of locations, and I was thinking, it's going to happen for me. Never did. But many years later, I'm back in America. I traveled around a bit, and I was on my own. I think it was the middle of the night. I'm now with, I guess, what you call the Nordic types.
Yes.
That's the only way I can describe it. These guys were all pretty much the same, all about 6'5" to 7 foot, and I'm by this time I'm sort of middle 20s, and I've always thought myself a fairly rational human being, and able to discern, what's going on and what's really happening. So this really happened. I remember leaving my house, looking at this craft that's floating about 20 feet off the ground, and don't remember getting in it, but once in it, it was very surprising because I would expect myself to sort of encounter something like the interior of the Starship Enterprise, with light.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
there was nothing like that. It was almost like when I, many years later than that, I went to the Air and Space Museum in D.C. And when you look at the Apollo command capsule that came back from the moon, you kind of go, no, they didn't go in that. Come on. It's just so rudimentary, And being in this thing was almost kind of a similar situation. It was very functional, seating, strapped in, and, it was rows of seats. And there was a guy at the front, one of them at the front, and they actually did communicate. It was like a verbal thing. It wasn't like a mind thing. Blonde hair, wearing kind of these, it was very odd because they all dressed the same. And there was no kind of like fashion statements or anything, they were all the same. And so we took off. I remember one of them particularly enjoying, because we were strapped in and this thing was felt very rudimentary, but we took off, and one of these guys was verbalizing that this is the favorite bit of the whole thing, when they take off. And I just remember that. So we go to this, I don't know where it was. We go to this other place, and I don't remember landing, but I remember standing on the surface, and it was, we were faced with these huge beings. They were like, almost like giant slug brain kind of things. It was like segmented big, I mean, they were like four times the size of an elephant. It was just huge. And I'm just standing there, and these things just seem to be super intelligent. And I'm thinking, why, you know, okay, this is fine. I didn't seem to be taken there against my will, but it was like, I don't know if I had a choice or not, but it was all very interesting.
Did you ask them, though, why me?
No, at this point, no. Because it was almost like I was just going on this roller coaster ride. So these things communicated telepathically, these large creatures. Then all of a sudden, this thing, the situation just turned really ugly, and these Nordic types started spearing these beings, and I'm just like horrified. It was almost like just pure aggression and sadism, and I was just repulsed by this whole thing. And I was thinking, what on earth is going on? And then something happened, and one of these guys alerted everybody that we got to leave now. So next thing I know, we're back in this ship, and it was almost like kind of a movie thing, you know, that it wouldn't start, you know, and there was like alarm, but it didn't go on too long. Anyway, I got returned home.
Yeah, why they would turn and get mean, who knows? Imagine possibly being abducted and all of a sudden your captors start spearing people. Oh, yeah, get me out of there. Let's go first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My name is Ross.
I was there one winter. It used to get really cold there. I don't know if it still does.
It did in December, but it's extremely warm for January.
Unusually so, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Let me get right to the point here.
All right.
I've only been listening to your show now for about 2 months. And you said something one night back in December that actually knocked me off my chair. Okay?
What did I say?
You mentioned that a lot of people all over the world had been seeing the number 1111.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Okay. Right. Now, in late 2002, I started seeing 1111 everywhere. I mean everywhere, on the clock, when I look at a clock, on a counter, on a VCR, on a score, on games. But the one that really blew me away is I looked up at a scoreboard, a hockey game one time. Okay, the score was 1-1. There was 11 minutes, 11 seconds left in the first period, and there were shots on goal for each team was 11-11.
Isn't that something?
Now, here's where it gets really kind of spooky later. I kept seeing this more and more, and it happened for almost a full year. I had major back surgery in July then of 2003, and in November of 2003, I noticed actually I had a lump in my neck. So I went in to see the doctor, got referred to a specialist, had a CT scan done, and when my wife and I went into the doctor that morning, I was given a diagnosis of an incurable type of cancer.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay. So now we get all the bad news and everything, and my wife and I are heading home, and I just looked over at my wife. She was driving. I looked over at her, and I said, oh, my God. I said, the date is November 12th, which meant to me the 11-11 was the last day of my life as I knew it.
That is interesting.
Before I was diagnosed with cancer. Now I thought, okay, now this is gonna go away, okay, because I figured that's what it was all about. But I'm telling you, I keep seeing 11-11 over and over and over again.
I do too. I can't get rid of it. It went away for maybe about a month, and then it came roaring back again.
Right.
And it's weird. Let me ask you though, in addition to this, how are you feeling now? Are you fighting the fight?
Yeah, I went through a very potent chemo. And I have a lot of terrible side effects still from that. It's been 2 years, and it's, you know, the doctors keep telling me, of course, that it's not something that's gone. It's just it's going to start progressing again at some point. And then we'll see what we can do about it then. But, I mean, it just, I don't know. I think this 11-11 thing is something so far above and beyond just me and myself and my personal problems or anybody else. To me, there's just something major, I think, that's going to happen, or that 11-11 is involved with something
I think it is an enlightenment period. I don't think it's anything negative. I think it's something that is going to be wonderful for everybody when it happens.
Well, as I was experiencing it over that year, I never felt bad about it. You know, and even getting the cancer diagnosis, I looked at my wife immediately and said, look, I don't care how bad this is. I'm going to beat this.
Good for you. You know, it's almost funny when you see 11-11 now. You almost chuckle, don't you? You shake your head. You go, there it is again.
I do. I laugh. And I point it out to my wife, and we laugh together because, you know, I would always point it out to her when I'd see it.
Now, let me tell you, too, we've got millions of listeners that just heard you. I'm sure a lot of people will say a little prayer for you and give you that little boost, that little extra.
All right. Thanks, George.
Okay, my friend. Be good.
Take care.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is Sarah from Wabasha, Minnesota, the home of grumpy old men, which
That's
is what
true.
We're famous for here right on the Mississippi River. I'm a longtime listener, love the show, pretty dedicated Streamlink subscriber.
Well, yes, you are. Thank you.
I'm a full-time student, so I listen a lot during the daytime. I podcast, which is wonderful. And back in August, I was doing my housework in the afternoon, listening to Coast like I always do. And you know how Minnesota weather can be in August, very unpredictable.
Yep.
Well, I noticed that I'm listening to the show about the Manson family murders. And it's getting darker and darker outside. And then I can hear the wind start to pick up. And then I see the white caps out on the water right on the Mississippi. Lightning, thunder. Then all of a sudden, the power goes out. Well, I have a laptop. So the show continues to go. And I'm continuing to get a little more spooked and a little more spooked. All of a sudden, huge crack of thunder, big bolt of lightning, the front door of my house opens, slams. The only time I've ever had to shut Coast to Coast off.
What did we conjure up?
I don't know. But I lived in that house for 3 years. I never had any problems. But I do also live in a very, very haunted old town.
Yeah, that was the night we were talking about the ghosts of the Mansons.
Yes.
Manson family murders, yeah.
Spooked me to no end. And, George, I'm also a fellow 11-11 seer.
We all are.
And it's been for years, and my husband just thinks it's hilarious now because I've got him seeing it. It's bizarre, and I agree with you. I think it's we're definitely in a period of enlightenment.
Yeah,
and it's something's maybe just something to make us aware.
It's a sign from something. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, George. Take care.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
My name's Dale, and I'm out of Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
KIVI.
You sure do.
Tonight KVI. I was watching TV and the news came on and they showed that lady reporter that was kidnapped in Iraq.
Yeah.
And it shows the one picture of her stirring this pot. And behind her, I thought I saw something kind of strange. So I have a nationally known brand of television that you can rewind and then bring it forward. And there was I stopped it at that image and right behind her of this lady reporter that, you know, we...
That they may kill, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I looked at it, and I thought what I saw, and there it is. There's this image of this white, like... apparition behind her,
just kind of like floating behind her.
Yeah,
maybe it's going to protect her.
On this one little frame.
Huh? What did it look like though exactly? Did it have shape to it?
An apostle, kind of. You know, like you would think you would see from the 1800s or something. You know, in garb.
Did it look angelic?
Yeah, because it was pure white, and when I paused it on it, you can see like through the edges of it. That's what caught my eye.
Well, it's good to know they're with her.
Yes.
Maybe they'll...
In 11-11, my grandparents sent down from my great-grandparents always, every time either one of the, such as my mother or father, my father drove long haul truck, every time he left, and he'd call at 11 in the morning, 11 at night.
On purpose, or did it just happen? Oh, on purpose.
On purpose, because my mom was 100% disabled, laying in bed.
Yeah.
She'd watch the clock. When it hit 11:11, she'd say, I love you, wherever you're at.
I love it. You got it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. I got time for one or two more. Final caller. We'll say goodnight to everybody. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
This is Ashley, and I'm from Cleveland.
Ashley from Cleveland, what's on your mind?
Actually, I wanted to talk to you about a case of EVP that I might have. A few friends and I were doing a three-way phone conversation, and one recorded the entire thing. And we had a couple things, like, we weren't sure if the person was still on the phone, so we asked him if, like, he could hear us. And then when we listened back, we heard a voice say, I can hear it. And there's a couple other cases of that, too. But what I really wanted to ask you about was, I actually was in my bedroom
mm-hmm.
when this happened, and I had had a few other things happen before this, but I was telling my mom, and sorry, I'm a little nervous.
No, you're doing fine.
Yeah, and she grew up in the house, and she had the room that I'm in now, and she used to chew her blankets, like, for eye holes. Because she said that this, all these, people would come out of her wall and leave at night.
So she'd hide under the blanket and kind of peek at them?
Yeah, because she didn't want them to see her, because she was, really scared of them. And then, in the morning, they would wake her up and come back. And she wasn't sure if this was a dream or not, but it happened to her often. Wake her up in the morning when the sun was coming up.
Well, if it was a dream, she sure had those little eye holes in her blanket, didn't they?
Yeah, and then the last time she said she saw it, she was about 16, and she actually made eye contact with one of them, and they, waved at her and then went back through the wall.
Now, this EVP that you recorded, were the three of you out to record those voices, or was it an accident?
It was an accident. My friend had actually, recorded it.
Who's got the tape?
Without us knowing it.
Where is it
now? I actually have a copy of it, and I want to know if I can send you one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I want to know what you thought. There was a couple different things. One of them, we were talking about, talking to God in prayer, and there was a voice that says, I need God.
Can you hear it pretty distinctly?
Yeah. I have exact minutes for these three.
All right. Do you have our address?
No, I don't, actually.
All right, we'll put you on hold. Tom will give you our address. Send us a tape with your permission to use it, and we will. Let's go to one last caller, and you can say goodnight to the world. Would you say goodnight to everybody for us?
Hello, goodnight, everybody. This is Jason calling from Colorado Springs.
I love it. Thanks, Jason.
Y'all have a good evening.
You have a good weekend.
I love the show. I love you guys.
Appreciate it. For Kara Scoburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. Ian Punnett on Saturday. Don't forget, Art returns on Sunday. Until then, be safe, everyone.